The tape recorder is now recording.
Morning, everyone. This is Dawn Russell, SRC Chair. It is June 23rd, 2021 at 10:03. I call this meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. Good morning. We'd like to start out with introductions. And Brian has the roster. He's going to call names. When your name is called, please state that you're present.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everybody. I'm going to start by calling the voting members, and if you are present, just indicate us by saying so, and then I'll call other individuals who I believe might be present, and if they are present, to just indicate your presence, and that way we can record it for the minutes. Gary Allen.
Present. I'm representing the SRC. I mean, I'm representing the state we are both. No, I'm representing the State Independent Living Hill.
Thank you. Brandy Altergott. Scott Becker. Just waiting. I just want to make sure that people know that you need to unmute. So I thought that both Randy and Scott were confirmed. I'm just going to be sure. Randy Altergott, if you're on, would you please unmute and say you're present? Scott Becker. Michael Bartley.
Good morning, everybody present.
Good morning. Jay Brown.
Present, representing the Bureau of Special Education. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. John Carney-Mola. William DeMayo. Jennifer Jenkins.
Present. Good morning, everyone. I'm representing the Client Assistance Program.
Good morning. Lucretia Jones.
Present. Good morning.
Good morning. Frank Lasquadro.
Good morning. Present.
Good morning. Philip McGalnick.
Present.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nina Mendoza.
Hi, good morning. I don't know if you guys can see me. I guess the lighting in my house is creating a shadow. I'm going to have to reposition myself. Sorry.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here.
Deborah Reed.
Present.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Beth Reel.
Good morning. I'm here representing Connecticut's Parent Training and Information Center, the Connecticut Parent Advocacy Center, also known as CPAC.
Good morning. Dennis Regan. Eileen Rose. Dawn Russell.
Present.
Morning.
Morning.
Nicole Serrano. Kendra Valente.
Good morning. Present.
Good morning. So we definitely have a quorum. I'm going to call some additional names now. John McNichol. Good morning. Mary Burgard.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Zachary Moore.
Good morning.
Good morning. Brenda Lamar.
She's here. Good morning.
Good morning.
I changed my voice.
guest, John Churkin.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. If the interpreters, I see we have two interpreters, if you wish to unmute, to just give your name so it's at least recorded, that would be welcome.
Good morning, this is Mary Sue Owens with Source Interpreting.
Good morning, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, this is Maria Michoni with Source Interpreting.
Good morning, thank you for joining us. We also have a captioner with us in case we needed captioning. Maybe the captioner can unmute and just give us her name.
Good morning, this is Mary with ACS Captions, and if you again need a caption link, I can supply it in the chat.
Excellent, thank you so much. Is there anyone who has called in through the phone whose name I have not indicated? So I believe, Madam Chair, I have called everyone who is in attendance.
Okay, well, this is exciting. This is our first council meeting on Zoom.
Unmute.
You need to unmute and just
so
tell
when
them hold on.
You do speak, please identify yourself and pause to give our interpreters a chance to catch up.
You plugged in?
All right, so we have on our agenda public comments. Do we have anybody from the public that would like to make a comment?
I think it'll work. You want me to tell them that we need to move?
We may have to move out there. Hold on.
I don't think there's anybody from the public that wants to make a comment. I'm not hearing anyone. Okay, I think we can move on to the next item on the agenda, which is old business. I assume that everybody has had a chance to read the meeting minutes from our last meeting, and I'd like to, so right now we'd like to approve those minutes from our last meeting. Do we need to have a discussion?
Madam Chairwoman, could we just amend them to reflect that I was in attendance at the last meeting?
This is Jennifer Jenkins?
Yes.
Okay, we can amend that.
Thank you.
With that amendment?
So, Madam Chair, you would just need a motion and a second to accept the minutes as amended.
Okay, do I have a motion to accept the minutes as amended?
This is Lucretia Jones. I make a motion that we accept the minutes with the amendment.
Do I have a second?
Go ahead.
This is Mike Bartley. I'll second that.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. Any abstained? Okay, the motion passes to accept our minutes with the amendment. From our last meeting. So now we're going to move on to work group reports. We have Lucretia Jones with our membership report.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Here's the membership report. Presently, we have 18 voting members of the SRC, and since our last meeting, we have had two new appointments, and they are William DeMayo, and also we have had Frank LaSquadro, and I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. And both of them, they're in the category of business, industry, and labor. We also have some terms that are expiring. The first one is John McNichols. First term has expired already June the 17th. However, his reappointment is in process. We also have Eileen Rose. First term, hers will be coming up October the 11th of this year, and she is not seeking a second term. But we will need another candidate for that category, and that's in the category of recipient of services. Our person we have is Mike Bartley. Mike's up for a second term that expires July 24th. His replacement has been nominated and submitted to the governor's office. Mike serves in the category of business, industry, and labor. Our next individual is Nicole Rico Serrano. First term. Hers is expiring also next month, which is July 22nd. And her reappointment is still pending. Nicole serves in the category of American Indian Vocational Rehabilitation Program. Also pending appointment is a candidate in the category of Community Provider. The candidate's appointment information, it has been submitted to the governor's office. And the last one we have, we still have a vacancy. It's in the category of Workforce Investment Board. So a candidate is still needed for that one. That concludes our report.
Okay, thank
I have
you,
a question.
Mike. Yes, who has a question?
Gary Allen.
Go ahead, Gary.
I was up for a new for reappointment. I sent in my the application to the state. I was wondering if it was approved or. That
Gary,
might expire in July also.
Gary, I'm checking right now. I'm called on one second. And by the way, I just, while Krisha was giving the report, I got an email. Dennis Regan is on the call. He said he must have been muted because we didn't hear him. So for the attendance roster, we need to reflect that. Gary, you are correct in that your first term will be expiring on August 22nd. And you're indicating that you did submit the materials?
I did, yeah.
Okay, we can follow up to see on the status of yours. I'll reach out to Jonathan Slifka to see if he can get us an update and let him know that your stuff is in. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Gary, for bringing that to our attention.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hi, can I also jump in? It's Kendra Valenti. Yes, can you hear me? It's Kendra. Kendra Valenti?
Yes.
A similar situation, Brian, you probably have the date of when I expire and I sent my information in for the request for the second appointment term.
Yes, your second term doesn't expire until December. So while they have your information, they're gonna wait till a bit later in the year to.
Okay.
But yes, they do have your information. I didn't forward that, Lucretia, to you because it was later in the year. But Gary's definitely Gary, thanks for bringing that to our attention so that we can include that, including the status of it.
Very good. Thank you all.
Okay. And are there any other questions on membership?
This is Anita. I just put it in the chat. I'm also, I believe, have or was up for reappointment, and I submitted my paperwork as well. Just waiting.
Yeah, all right, let me scroll down. Yes, and in fact, Anita, so your paperwork has gone in. Your first term would be July 29th of this year, so we'll follow up on yours as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that forward.
Okay. Thank you all. And Brian, like he said, we'll follow up on those three that brought those to our attention. That was Gary, Kendra, and Zenaida. So thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Thank you,
Lucretia.
You're welcome, Lucretia.
I did not. I'm sorry, Lucretia. I had not included those in what I forwarded to you.
No problem. We know it now, and we'll look into that.
Yeah, certainly we will. Thank you. We least the good news is their paperwork is in and it's being processed. So that's the good news.
Okay. Any other questions on membership? Okay, we're going to move on to the next item, which is finance. Is Scott Becker here for our finance report?
Apparently not. Scott had indicated he was going to be present, but if he's not on the call, I can at least give the report if you wish.
Yes, Brian, go ahead.
Okay, since the last SRC meeting, there's been two expenditures. One is for the State Rehab Council Chair Dawn to attend the NCSAB Spring Conference. We had previously, prior to the March SRC meeting, we'd already authorized for her attendance as well as the vice chair's attendance at the CSABR spring meeting. So, but since the last SRC meeting, we've had her attendance at the NCSAB spring conference and also dues for the Council of State Administrators of Vocational Rehabilitation, our annual dues, which allows for the SRC as well as BR. Have the opportunity to interact so readily with all of the other public voc rehab programs across the country. So those are the only two new purchases since the last.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions on finance for Brian?
Philip McGelnick.
Go ahead, yes, sir. Philip.
Can we hear what those expenses were?
Yes, I'm sorry. $150 for the SRC chair to attend the spring National Council State Agencies for the Blind conference, and $3,316.56 for the Council of State Administrators of Vocational Rehabilitation dues, and then total obligations for the federal fiscal year between October 1st of 2020 and now, total $58,507.28.
Thank you. Perhaps those numbers were provided prior to me joining last month, so I apologize for asking as was repeated information.
No, that's perfectly fine, and I'm sorry I omitted the numbers when I gave those two updates.
Any other questions for Brian on finance? Okay, we're going to move on to the next item, which is consumer satisfaction report from Brian.
Thank you. So based on the approval that the State Rehab Council had previously voted, I did reach out to the Center for Public Policy and Social Research at Central Connecticut State University. They're the entity that we've been using for several years now to conduct a consumer satisfaction survey, and they agreed to continue. I let them know the SRC voted that their preference was to continue to use them.
Intra-Norton.
I'm sorry, what? Okay, maybe I was outside of this. And so they did submit a price for the new survey year, which would start October 1, and it was just a very nominal increase. Right now, it's costing $23,807, and it only went up to $23,904. So a very small increase to conduct next year's survey. I've already drafted the memorandum of agreement, and they've reviewed it, and I'm now prepared to submit it to our central contracting unit for their review. So that is moving along. So I'm confident there will be no interruption in conducting the survey, and the survey that they're conducting right now will be concluding in July once the last state fiscal quarter closes. It closes June 30th, and we transmit the information to them so they can begin the calls in the month of July. So that's the consumer satisfaction report.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Does anyone have any questions on the consumer satisfaction report for Brian? Okay, we're going to move on to the next item on the agenda, which is new business. And we have our VR success story. Mary, are we ready for that?
I think they are both signing on. It's Charlotta Copenhaver, one of our counselors, and Melissa Carney at 10:30. So we may have a few minutes. I don't see that they're on yet. They do have the link and did confirm, so. Maybe is there a short agenda item we can do?
Should, the next item is slate of officers for fiscal year 2022. That might not be that short. Brian, what do you suggest?
I would think let's start with the slate of officers, and then if they do dial in, I'm sure they'd be willing to wait a minute or two if necessary.
All right, so let's talk about the slate of officers for fiscal year 2022. We have some openings, and we'll be voting in our next meeting on September 22nd. We do have an opening for chair, and I would like to be considered for that. Today is our vice chair, Mark Bartley's last meeting. And so if anybody was that. We do have somebody who's nominated for that already. And we have Lucretia's secretary position is open, and we'd like Lucretia to stay in that if she would like to. But if I don't want to put people on the spot, but I kind of am. if you need more time to think about it, Lucretia, that's fine. Want to speak up now, that's fine. And if anybody is interested, you can always email me and let me know. Also, we have our treasurer position is open, and I'd like to hear from Scott too if he is interested in continuing that on. So would anybody like to make any comments on that?
Dawn, I think this is Lucretia, and I'll get back to you on that, and I'll send you an email.
Okay, thank you, Lucretia. And I don't know if Scott is here. Is Scott not here at all? Did he come on yet? I don't think so. Okay, well.
Scott just emailed me. It says Scott is on. It says Scott is on the phone, but my phone will not unmute. This is bizarre, so I just have to listen. So I'm sure Scott
say Scott. That. That must be frustrating. Wow, okay. All right, well, if anybody is interested in these open positions on the council, please email me and let me know. And we'll get this all squared away at our next meeting. We'll be voting. If our success story is not here yet, we could go on to our next item, which is the reopen plan, the COVID-19 updates for Brian.
Sure. So as of June 1st, based on the governor's memorandum to state employees, we resumed full direct client services in the community. We had been doing community-based services to some extent, but as of June 1st, what are referred to as forward-facing services, meaning direct services, were kind of put into normal operations again. Folks have still been teleworking through the month of June. Everyone, for the most part, is still teleworking 100%. But they can go in the field, and for those field staff whom are blind, who need a special assistant, we can provide a special assistant. We still are preferring to utilize the lessons we've learned through a year and a quarter of virtual service delivery, we've implemented quite a number of strategies that have allowed us to help many of our clients in ways that previously weren't available. Probably one of the best examples is the transition school to work camps that, for instance, Vermont Services for the Blind runs a camp called LEAP. They provide work experiences, paid work opportunities, mentoring opportunities, and these are opportunities that prior to COVID, the only way a client would have been able to attend that is to be able to be out of state for the 2 weeks or 3 weeks of the program in order to go there on site. Now that it's virtual, we've had quite a number of students who have been able to benefit from the virtual model. And so we're not planning to abandon the virtual activities that we've learned are very effective. And similarly, if there are employment situations that are available virtually, that eliminates all the transportation challenges that our clients have had. And some of these virtual opportunities, it doesn't matter where in the country or where in the state the opportunities are, because it's virtual. So we're not going to be shifting away from those lessons learned that are time saving, cost savings, and beneficial to the service delivery continuum. As of July 1, there will be a greater, an increase in the number of staff that will be working at an office location. Some developments that just came out in the last couple of days that we're still analyzing those implications. So I think at this point I can just say that as of July 1, there will be increased presence in the buildings. However, there are restrictions around going to the buildings. People will need to wear a mask when they come to the building, and for someone who's unable to wear a mask, we'd be allowed to meet with them either in the lobby area with social distancing or meet with them outdoors with social distancing. But those would be the only way that we'd be able to meet with someone who is not able to wear a mask. Virtual meetings are still preferred over in-person meetings, and when in-person meetings are going to occur at the building, social distancing would need to be employed to keep folks at 6 feet. So meetings such as this SRC meeting, I would anticipate, would continue in a virtual format because of those restrictions. But I think now that we're utilizing a Zoom approach where we certainly can interact in a more enhanced way than just a teleconference, certainly the SRC has demonstrated their ability to conduct their business in a virtual model. So I think that with the reopen plans, there's still some good lessons learned that we want to continue with. I have provided a draft update of the in-person services protocols. I sent it first to the leadership team in BSBY, and then once I got their feedback, I sent it to the Deafblind Advisory Committee members. They were very actively involved in reviewing and making modifications to the initial draft. It became our in-practice protocols, which are still in practice today. Those are protocols that really have some restrictions based on pre-vaccination status. And so these new protocols take into account new guidance we've received from Department of Administrative Services for visitors and staff in buildings, and also take into account CDC's more up-to-date guidelines on, for instance, people who have traveled out of the state, things like that. So once I get the feedback from the Deafblind Advisory Committee, I anticipate being able to put those out very close to or shortly thereafter, the beginning of July. And those, again, would be less restrictive protocols, but nonetheless, protocols for in-person services that still have safety in the forefront. I think that we all are recognizing is COVID is certainly having numbers that are decreasing in Connecticut, and we're all very, very pleased to see that. We still want to always err on the side of caution and safety so that services can be provided and be provided in person when that's really the most practical way to provide the services.